You are listening to KJZZ's Here and Now. I'm Steve Goldstein. Copper mining has a deep connection to the history of Arizona. The so-called five C's that represented the biggest economic industries in the state included copper, but the current impact of copper could be called mixed. It's in many things that we use every day, including computers and cars, but copper's environmental impact can be controversial. Bill Carter is the author of Boom, Bust, Boom, a story about copper, the metal that rules the world, and he joins me now in studio. Bill, welcome.
Hey, thanks a lot. Great to be here.
So you moved to Arizona about 15 years ago, but you didn't really know much about copper at that point, right? So what really got you digging in?
Yeah, I moved to Tucson, and then I moved to Bisbee. And I went there to write books and to live the life of Bisbee, which is somewhat of an artistic life. Mm-hmm. And then I also, at the same time, was a commercial fisherman up in Alaska.
Okay.
And around 2000, well, right around the time I started fishing, 2003, was the beginning of the talk of building Pebble Mine, which is would have been one of the largest copper mines in the world.
Yeah.
And mixed with Bisbee, which is, of course, was one of the largest mines in the United States in its heyday, I realized, wait a minute, I'm in the middle of a really historical place. I don't know anything about this metal or this industry. And then coupled with the fact that the mining company was starting to test the soil in Bisbee, and we had it tested, and at the time I was doing a garden. I was very active with, very, very active in my garden, and I got sick. They tested it, and I had high levels of arsenic and lead, and the garden was, you know, really traced with heavy metals. Now, Freeport-McMoRan, who owns the Bisbee mine, didn't do that. They've been good neighbors. It was something that happened during the Phelps Dodge era, but it just tells you that these metals settle, but they don't go away. They're invisible to us, these heavy metals, but they're always there.
Well, this environmental impact is felt in so many other ways, and there are always fights about whether to reopen a mine or have a new mine and whatnot. What's your overall take on that? Because there's that balance that always comes up, jobs versus environment, and that simplifies it, but that the sides often end up fighting that way.
They do end up fighting that way. It's a bit of a it's a red herring. The jobs part is, to me, a bit silly. It can play really big in places like Superior, mm-hmm. where mining is a really big history there, and it's all been underground. So there's a lot of people in Superior that want that mine. But the jobs that get created, a lot of them are, maybe not in Superior, but a lot of places around this country where they advertise we're going to give you a big economic boost, a lot of those jobs are imported. You know, so it's not quite the numbers that they advertise. The environmental impact is almost impossible for them to mitigate. They try, but when you deal with the volume they deal with, these open pit mines, it's almost impossible to stop essentially a natural process, which is eroding the rock when it's sitting in the air with rain and time, and you're going to get, you know, copper doesn't come alone up to the earth. It comes with arsenic, uranium, you know, things like this, and it's going to bleed into your water systems, which in this state is a very important resource, is our lack of water or water, mm-hmm. you know.
So we always talk about balance in everything in our lives. So where's the balance then in terms of, I mean, is there one, or are we willing to sacrifice some people's health in exchange for other impacts?
Apparently we are. That's pretty much the model of the capitalistic system. And the book wasn't really about stop mining, because that's quite silly. Yeah. This room is full of copper and other metals. The conversation that I'm trying to promote is how we mine and where. Superior, you have a lot of opposition with the Apaches, and they have a legitimate claim. So you have to talk about that with them. You can't just leave them out of the conversation. In Rosemont, down by southern Arizona, down by Tucson, you're talking about there's very little water down in that area, and they're going to really, really knowingly, they've already stated it, they would pretty much ruin an area of water. So when it becomes like a valuable resource that we need to actually live, water, i.e. food, things like that, I think that we need to have more power to say no. If it's on Ajo, maybe, I'm not trying to pick on Ajo, but, you know, it has a history of mining. Yeah. Maybe they want it. Maybe Superior wants it. If you can do it safely, then, you know, you got to kind of let some of the fights go. And when it's really a fight about something like clean water or water for a big urban area, then you got to fight for it.
It's Here and Now on KJZZ. I'm Steve Goldstein in Phoenix with Bill Carter, the author of Boom Bust Boom, a story about copper, the metal that rules the world. Bill will be at Changing Hands Bookstore in Tempe. That's tomorrow night, right, Bill?
That's tomorrow at 7 o'clock.
Changing Hands in Tempe tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Do you think the people who run mining companies are ruthless? Are they just thinking about making the next buck?
Yes, but I'm going to say that is not... That's very typical, whether it was Coca-Cola or Google or anybody else. I mean, it's corporate America or corporate international corporations. So they don't behave any differently, but what they leave behind can be kind of a ruthless, barren wasteland. These companies that we're dealing with, these are massive companies that have been around for hundreds of years. What you don't realize is someone like Freeport, who's based here in Phoenix, by the way.
Right.
Doing a lot of work in Bisbee in terms of cleaning up the mine. Obviously, they run Morenci, which is a big economic powerhouse for Arizona. How they operate, just remember this when you go to a town hall meeting or whatever it is that you're, how they operate here is not how they operate around the world. They basically will do what they can, below the bar. They'll meet the law, but if they can get away with it somewhere else, they will. And Freeport has a really bad history in a place called Grasberg in Indonesia. But that doesn't make them bad neighbors here. Just remember that when you're speaking to them. I think because Chris Hedges, famous journalist, said that the people doing regular jobs are the people that are ruining the world, i.e., there's a lot of really good people who work for copper companies, like the hydrologists, the structural engineers, they're all really capable. They're the best at what they do in this country. But if we add them all up, yes, they're just making money, which we want. We need the product. So we have to have a really strong ability to counteract if it's not correct. No matter what they say, we have to say, this is not a good spot. And then we have to, like I said, maybe give way on a few other ones.
Bill, this is tough. Just a few seconds left, but something about copper that maybe we didn't know that affects our everyday lives. So we hear about thieves who go steal copper wiring from various places. Is there something that you write about in the book that doesn't get enough attention?
I was fascinated by the history of copper. Look, the Guggenheims were the biggest owner. They owned ASARCO. I didn't know that. Things like that. How important copper has been through the history of what we would call modern man is far outshines gold or anything else that we use. But I didn't know that. That was fascinating. Copper's an amazing metal, but how it's extracted makes it a very dangerous operation that we need to maybe take a better look at.
And you can hear a lot more from Bill Carter, author of Boom, Bust, Boom, tomorrow night at 7 at Changing Hands Bookstore in Tempe. Bill, thanks for the time.
Oh, thank you very much.